The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, faith is not of human origin, because man is spiritually blind and helpless. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Therefore, man is dead in trespasses and sins. Anybody may, by his own ability, go through some of the outward expressions of faith. He can confess with the mouth. He can recite the creed. And he can gain a knowledge of what man must believe to be saved. But the true faith, which is trust in the merits of Jesus and the grace of God in Christ, the faith which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is beyond man's power, even in its smallest beginnings. True faith is therefore the work of the Holy Spirit, performed through the means of grace. Luther's Small Catechism sums it up so well. "I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith." Of this faith, St. John says that this is a victory that has overcome the world. The conduct of Bartimaeus recounted in our text, as well as a nobleman in the gospel lesson, shows us how faith rises victoriously. May the Lord bless the meditation. Firstly, faith rises victoriously over any misrepresentations of Jesus. Our text begins, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging." Jesus is en route to Jerusalem to begin his passion. He had left Perea, crossed the Jordan, and reached Jericho. A great multitude accompanied Jesus, thinking that time had come when he would establish his kingdom, expel the Romans, exalt the Jewish nation to the position of a world power, and make all other earthly dreams of the carnally minded Jews come true. By the wayside sat a blind beggar, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus and his works, for the report of Jesus and his mighty deeds was well known among the Jews. He was greatly in need of the help which Jesus could give, but being blind, he could not come to him, Jesus himself, and it seems he had no one to lead him. He was helpless. He was waiting. And then he heard a great noise. A multitude was passing by. He asked one of the passers-by what this meant, and he received the answer that it was Jesus of Nazareth. The answer contained a partial truth. Jesus of Nazareth was equivalent to the great prophet who, contrary to expectation, had arisen in Galilee. He was a mighty miracle worker, who commanded the winds and the waves, healed the sick, made the blind to see, cast out demons, and even raised the dead. For example, the daughter of Jairus. Jesus was the man to whom the Jews wanted to make king after they had been fed. It was Jesus whose deeds caused the people to glorify God, who had given such power to men, as we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 8. Now when the multitude saw that Jesus healed the paralytic, they marveled before God and glorified God, who had given such power to men. But the partial truth was in reality a total misrepresentation. It omitted any mention of the essential thing about Christ, his divinity, the very thing that Jesus sought earnestly to impress on the Jews in the discussion reported in John chapter 8 and John chapter 9. It omitted the essential item of Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," which elicited the Lord's praise in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It omitted the great fact that Christ had come to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus of Nazareth, good enough as far as it went, but not going far enough, so that it was worthless and worse, even harmful. But the faith of Bartimaeus rose victorious over the misrepresentation. Our text says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Physically blind, Bartimaeus had received spiritual sight and understanding from the Holy Spirit and exercised keen insight, seeing that which the multitude did not see. Addressing himself to Jesus, he did not say, "Jesus of Nazareth," but "Jesus, Son of David." Son of David was a technical name of the expected Messiah. Son of David implied a confession of Christ's divinity, for David had in spirit called this Son of David, Lord. In his miracles, which the general population only recognised a display of power, Bartimaeus saw God visiting his people. In the person who performed these miracles, he saw the Christ who was sent by the Father. Thus, his faith rose victorious over the misrepresentation. True faith always rises victorious over all misrepresentations of Jesus. Similar misrepresentations of Jesus are common today. People take pleasure in praising the rich humanity of Jesus, for example, sympathising for the poor and the oppressed, Jesus always being ready to help, prudent counsel, a noble example, hatred of sham, hypocrisy and formalism, but with that they stop. Hence they apply the names Jesus of Nazareth or the carpenter's son. Such praise misrepresents Jesus. It misses the essential points, his divinity and messiahship. The true believer sees all that in Jesus so evidently, but he sees much more. What is the more? It is what Bartimaeus saw. David's son and David's Lord, true God, one with the Father, the beloved Son, in a unique sense, very God of very God. In Jesus, he sees a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Saviour who was delivered for our offences and raised again for our justification, the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What do you see in Christ? True faith rises victorious over any misrepresentation and centres attention on Christ's divinity and messiahship. Secondly, faith rises victorious over obstacles and rebuffs. Our text continues, "Then many warned him to be quiet." The people had not understood the real purpose of Christ's coming. For all their enthusiasm, they had not appreciated the real significance of his miracles. Satisfied with their own spiritual condition, feeling no hunger and thirst for righteousness, they looked only for bread and for earthly glory. Hence they thought it inappropriate that misery should be thrust upon him. Consequently, they rebuked Bartimaeus. They put obstacles in his way. But the faith of Bartimaeus rose victorious over these obstacles. So he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was also victorious over inward obstacles. The people thought that Bartimaeus was unworthy to associate with Jesus, a disturbing element in the general joy of the occasion. Bartimaeus conceives this. His cry, have mercy, is a cry of the beggar who has no claim on the favour he asks. It excludes all notions of worth and merit. Bartimaeus knew and admitted that he had done nothing to deserve the favour and help of Jesus. The only claim he had on Jesus was that Jesus had come to save the lost. When he came forward, he had nothing to say for himself. His faith rose victorious over these obstacles and rebuffs because he considered only the known goodness and mercy of Jesus. So therefore we can see that faith always rises victorious over all obstacles. To all people who feel their sins, who are conscious of their utter unworthiness in the sight of God, Satan says, as he said to Cain, your sins are too great to be forgiven. You don't belong among the saints. Yours would be a disturbing presence. But true faith rises victorious over such obstacles, trusting in the mercy of Jesus, which did not ridicule Mary when she was possessed by seven demons, and did not despise the thief on the cross. True faith exclaims with St. Paul, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Faith rises victorious over the sense of its own unworthiness. The believer freely confesses his guilt. He pleads guilty of all sins and admits that he daily sins much and deserves nothing but punishment. The hymnist expresses his thought in the words, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Another hymnist writes, I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin am I. Blind Bartimaeus finds in Jesus a fountain of mercy gushing forth plenteous grace to cover all his sins, and his faith is victorious. How about your faith? Can you list any reason why God should be gracious to you and why he should not condemn you to hell? Then you may have come into the courtyard, but you have not entered into the Holy of Holies of faith. Does the difference seem ever so slight to you? It is a difference between true faith and a sham faith. A house built partly of rock and partly of sand is insecure. A faith resting partly on Christ and partly on human merit cannot weather the storm. Have mercy on me, the sinner, is a prayer of the true faith which rises victorious over rebuffs, obstacles, and the sense of unworthiness. Thirdly, faith rises victorious over ills and woes. Our text continues, So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. What a confident statement. He requested what was far above human power, yet blandly uttered, without apology or hesitation. To Bartimaeus, it is self-evident that Jesus can grant the petition. It is equally self-evident that Jesus is willing to restore the sight of his eyes, nor is the request in vain. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way, your faith has made you well. His sight was restored. The faith of Bartimaeus rose victorious over his great ills and woes. A true believer should never hesitate to approach the Lord with great requests. He holds the Lord to his promises, as recorded in John chapter 16, verse 23. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. The believer especially asks for pardon and forgiveness. Sins are the greatest evil. The gift of wealth lies in the power of a rich man. The gift of knowledge in the power of a good teacher. The gift of health at least partly, in the power of a skillful doctor. But who can forgive sins, wash away the stains of conscience, break the habit of sin, remit the consequences of sin? Yes, who except God? And yet if you will truly believe, you rise victorious over the tremendous guilt and power of iniquity. You confidently expect and ask in Christ's name, God will also surely give you. Sins, red as crimson, become white as snow the moment you believe that Jesus has borne your sins in his body on the tree. Overhead and underground wires send a continuous current of electricity into our houses. Through faith, a continuous never-ending stream of divine mercy, pardon and power flows into your life with healing effects, creating in you a clean heart and renewing in you a right spirit. As faith lifted Bartimaeus over all his ills and woes, so will true faith also make you rise victorious over your ills and woes. Fourthly, faith rises victorious over self. Our text concludes with these words, "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." His sight is restored, and Bartimaeus consecrated himself to Jesus. He used his newly received power of walking independently for no other purpose than of that of following Jesus. Although the actual appearance of Jesus may have contradicted the picture which he had constructed of him in his imagination, happiness and satisfaction is only in the company of the Saviour. Thus his faith rose victorious over self. And to this there is no exception. You confess the faith which Bartimaeus displayed. Your faith has brought you pardon and the love of the Heavenly Father. By your faith you have wafted yourselves up and have obtained a glimpse of the heavenly Jerusalem, of the kingdom of joy prepared for believers, of the rivers of mercy flowing at the Lord's right hand forevermore, of the rock of ages from which gushes forth the water of life so that each can drink and be satisfied, of the marvels that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and that have not entered into the heart of man. Do you also evidence this faith? Are you habitually on the side of Jesus? Are you fond about your Father's business? Are you on Sundays and weekdays listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd? Do you go about your daily work in the shop, the office, the kitchen, the farm, and endure your daily trials in patience, as if you were under the eye of the Lord? True faith rises victorious over self, crucifies it, sees Jesus only, and follows none but him. In all this we are weak. There is much sin, much carnal mindlessness must still be swept away. God's grace and power must still be made perfect in our weakness and turn our weakness into strength. So in conclusion, let us rejoice over the faith which God has created and kept within our hearts. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.